Hey bestie, welcome back to the Because I Love You podcast, where I tell you everything a best friend should because I love you. I have never gotten into this topic, kind of nervous to do so, but I do want to preface that I am no expert in the subject. I'm not giving you advice. I'm here to tell my story and what's worked for me. Please, if anything in this video resonates with you, talk it over with your doctor. So let's talk about weight loss. Let's talk about how I've somehow been able to make this way deeper than probably most people. Well, let's give you a little context first. I had put on a nice little 15-ish pounds post my wedding. And prior to my wedding, I slowly was putting on weight too, but it wasn't anything that like really mattered to me at that time. Now, gaining 15 pounds though started to definitely bother me. I think mostly because, well, I'm 5'3", so there's not a lot of surface area here. So it was very obvious when I put on 5, then 10, then 15. And having a camera job made me hyper aware of my appearance and, you know, is honestly like a side of the job that I wasn't prepared for in terms of having a lot of appearance issues from seeing way too much of myself on camera. Every angle, all the angles, like, yeah, I've seen too much. When I moved to Dallas, I kind of went down this path of trying to control my eating a little bit better. And I say control because I think that's probably the most appropriate word and why things went the complete opposite direction of what I wanted. But it was really hard. It's been the hardest thing I've ever had to do when it comes to my body is lose weight. And I just don't think people recognize how difficult it actually is. It's not easy. It was never meant to be easy though. And what is easy is putting on weight for some people. And I'm one of those people. Okay. I love to eat. I love to grub. So since I put on the 15 pounds, I've now lost 10 of those pounds. And I have learned so much so to the point that I was like, I have to talk about this. I have to tell you guys about this. The thing is, I wish someone had this video. The video I'm about to give you, I wish someone had it out there. And I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't seen anybody take the approach of weight loss like I'm about to tell you. I'm not going to tell you about any fucking diets. I am going to help you understand the psychological reasons why you are probably gaining weight if it's not something you want to do, / why is it so difficult for you to lose weight? Why is it that maybe you lose 1 pound and then gain 3 more? And why are you going through a vicious cycle? I understand it. I resonate with it so much. And I had been battling myself for a few years with yo-yos up and down, just like trying to get a grip on this. And I was like, I just don't understand how people can be like, oh, I'm cutting right now. Like, how is that so easy for you? It's not easy for me. I will say too that I think being on the shorter side of things generally made this a little bit harder for me. At any point, I wasn't like at a place where medically I would have been considered at risk of anything. And so I think that's also a misconception that some people think you have to be on the extreme side of being in a bigger body or whatever to want to lose weight. And I disagree with that. I was uncomfortable in my body. I wasn't gaining weight on purpose. So I kind of take the approach of if you want to change something about yourself and you can do this in a healthy way, by all means. And this is something that I wanted to change. I just kind of know where my body feels good, where my set point is. And that's where I was continually trying to get to, but my actions certainly did not line up with that. So let's just go ahead and get into how I actually lost 10 pounds. I know why. The reason that I could never lose weight in the past and keep it off is because I never had the right first step. The first step isn't just to like cut something out and restrict something. The first step is to heal your relationship with food. And you've probably heard this a bajillion times from people, but hear me when I say this. If you don't get your relationship with food together, you are going to continually go through the cycle of losing a pound, gaining 3, going back and forth between these things, not sticking with anything because your relationship with food is shit. Now, how do you know if you have a bad relationship with food? Well, if you have labels for food, this is good, this is bad, I'm being a bad girl. Like if you talk like that around food, you don't have a good relationship with food. Food is food. And you have to start looking at it like that. Okay, if you go ahead and demonize food, so if you're like, okay, like pizza is bad. Pizza is not inherently bad, okay? It's bread, it's cheese, it's sauce, it's toppings. How you make it might make it more nutritionally beneficial to you, or maybe not. But you don't need to demonize food, because the bottom line is you need food. You need fuel to be able to survive and do things. So if I'm out in the middle of the desert with nothing, no water, no food, I'm not about to be like, pizza's bad. No, in that moment, pizza's good. Pizza's good. You gotta start with how you talk about food, and that is huge. I do not entertain conversations with people who make me feel bad about food. Like, oh, I'm having chips. Oh, I ate carbs. I don't fucking care. Keep that to yourself. I do not entertain that talk. The day that I have kids, it's gonna be a big deal for me how people talk about food around my kids. Like, I can already tell you, it is a trigger already, and I don't even have a kid. So I'm just saying, like, this is really important to me, and I've realized how much it impacted my own relationship with food. You shouldn't be afraid of any foods. Those foods don't control you. You control the food. So if you have a bad relationship with food, you're gonna feel out of control around food. If you stop labeling food and if you stop demonizing food, you won't be scared of it. It's the things that we tell ourselves we can't have that we want the most. So if you tell yourself that this is bad, you're gonna wanna do it. Stop labeling it bad. You can have anything you want. Now, if you have specific goals, there are going to be things that are more aligned with what's going to make you feel better. And you should start looking at it through that lens. Start looking at food as what's going to make me feel my best. What's going to make me feel good today? What's going to give me more energy? Make your choices and decisions based off of that, not based off of this is good or bad. Because even if it's something good for you, what if you don't like the way it tastes? Now you're forcing yourself to do something you don't want to do. That is a bad relationship with food. Okay, sometimes you need to eat the things that make you feel happy in that moment, but you can also do that in moderation. And when you strip away the labels of good and bad, I find that you just have a healthier relationship with food. And if you're craving the ice cream and you want to go get the ice cream, it's not a big deal. Just have it. But if you tell yourself you can't have the ice cream or whatever it is that you demonize to be bad, when you do have it, you're going to go apeshit around it. That's when the binging happens. That's when you lose control around things. So for me, I would never be able to lose a pound and keep it off until my relationship with food was better. And it took a lot of work. It took some time. I had to kind of just like strip away my goals for a second and just recreate my relationship with food and create new rules around food. So that was really important. I think that there are two really important precursors to weight loss. And so the first one is healing your relationship with food. The other one is understanding why you gained the weight in the first place. Understanding what happened to get you to this point. In my opinion, it's never as simple as I just ate too much. That is definitely the bottom line, probably one of the reasons why you gained a lot of weight. However, what are the reasons behind that? If you can like sit and be honest with yourself about what's going on with food, why do you feel so out of control around it? What are you using food for? Then we can actually start to make some changes. So for me, I was avoiding accountability for so long. I really was. And it just took me getting tired of my own bullshit to actually make changes, make lasting changes. When I was finally ready to be honest with myself that I had an issue here, I realized I definitely emotionally eat like many of us do and probably don't even know it because it's just a part of our nature. It's a part of our culture. We cope with food. We celebrate with food. I was just talking about this, how like sugar is such a thing in our culture in America in terms of like celebrating things. Like we have cake to celebrate our birthday, which if you think about it, is kind of ironic because it's like you're living another year, but you're having like sugar and like by all means have the sugar. But I had to start learning like, why do I choose to celebrate with certain things and not others? I could create new rules for how I want to celebrate my life or how I want to grieve or how I want to process my emotions. And it doesn't have to revolve revolve around food, but so much of my emotional processing was revolving around food. Oh, I'm sad. I deserve to go get an entire pizza and fucking eat the whole thing by myself. Oh, like I did really good today. We had a really good win at work today. Let's go get some ice cream. None of those things are bad, by the way. I'm not saying those are bad, but I am saying, why is food the first thing when we choose to acknowledge an emotion, an accomplishment, or something? That for me was the problem. I was soothing myself with food. I was eating to a point that made me sick half the time, where I would just numb myself out because I wanted to avoid thinking about things that were bothering me. I would eat myself into an oblivion, and then I would be so sleepy that I would just pass out. And that was kind of like my drug of choice. I didn't have the emotional regulation that I needed. It was coming out in food, which manifested into my 15 pounds of weight gain. There's always that deeper reason for like, what's really going on? Why do I feel so out of control around food? Well, because food is literally my pacifier. That's where it gets tricky. And this is where you have to figure things out for yourself. So then you have to go into, well, if I'm not going to use food to cope, what am I going to use? For example, when I get stressed out, I want sugar. I know my dad's exactly the same way, so it's probably somewhere in our DNA. That was one of the hardest things that I had to figure out, was like, how do I not cope with sugar? So instead of just telling myself no sugar, I replaced the processed sugar. And I let myself really start experimenting with like other natural sugars. I love fruit now. I like a year ago probably was not into fruit like I am now, but now we keep fruit on deck. What I would do is just keep every fruit that I love in the house so that I always had something there for those moments where I needed a sugary sweet thing. Love pineapple when it's in season. Mangoes, like really the sweet fruit, like it's great. So instead of opting to go get a scoop of ice cream or gelato, because I literally live next to a gelato store, I would opt for fruit. And that became my new habit. And that felt good. It gave me energy. It tasted good. When I would get stressed out, that is how I started to retrain myself and recreate rules. Restrictions don't work for me. Restrictions put me in the opposite direction. When I tell myself I can't do something, I want to do it even more. We had to completely break that cycle. And I also had to learn how to regulate my emotions outside of food. So that meant, okay, let me actually think about what's bothering me right now. Dude, when I tell you, I just fucking cry now. I just cry now. And I'm telling you, like, crying for maybe a 5 to 15 minute session, like in the car or in the bath or in the shower, like it's just so much more beneficial than bottling that shit up and then it comes out in another way. And for me, another way was gonna be me binge eating later on. That was just how it was going to work for me. So I had to cry a little bit more. I had to journal. Sometimes I'll just, in my notes app on my phone, like I'll just go fucking crazy and then I delete it. If I want to like tell somebody off, that's what I do. I just like go crazy in my notes app and then delete it, because you need to get the thing out. You need to get the emotion out. Another thing is, I'm a really big believer that emotions stay in your body if you don't process them, right? Resentment turns to disease. I think that some sicknesses and diseases definitely come from holding on to toxic emotions, not letting that shit go. It turns into something within your body. Resentment, unforgiveness being the worst ones that you can hold on to in your body, definitely turn into something. I have this book that talks about like different ailments in the body and what it's connected to spiritually and trauma wise. And in terms of like what it said about my, like I have low back pain, I have like certain aches and pains in certain spots. It was like spot on about the issues that were tied to those. So I definitely believe there's some kind of correlation with not letting go of things and your body storing it, right? Everything is energy. Even though we can't see our emotions, if you don't release them, what happens to them? It still goes somewhere, right? You deserve to let it go from your body so that you can be the healthiest, happiest version of yourself. You deserve to let it go. You're only hurting yourself when you hold on to heavy, toxic emotions. When you don't forgive people, when you hold on to resentment, you are only hurting yourself on a physical level, okay? On a spiritual, emotional, physical level, mental, like you are only hurting yourself. That's why when people are like, I have issues forgiving, and I used to be this person too, like Scorpio gang. I'm like, girl, don't say that out loud. Don't say that you can't forgive people out loud, because you sound goofy. You're only hurting yourself. I can remember what you did to me, but I can choose to release how you made me feel, but still hold you accountable. Two things can be true. So forgiveness is for you. Forgiveness is not for them. Let's get it straight. Holding onto those nasty emotions is going to turn into something for you, period. Another thing that was really in the way of me making progress with losing the weight that I wanted to get rid of was I was listening to too many people on Beyonce's internet. So many people out here think that they know. They know better. They have the secret sauce to help you lose 10 pounds in a week. First of all, if anyone is telling you to lose X amount of pounds in 5 days, 3 days, 7 days, block. Immediately block. You're not supposed to do that. Just straight up, you didn't gain 5-10 pounds in a week, you're not gonna lose it in a week either. And if you did, it's probably just water. So that's not healthy and that's not sustainable. If you want the quick fix, this video isn't for you. But if you're looking to get rid of the excess that's making you feel like you're being weighed down and you wanna keep it off, you gotta do some deeper work and you need to allot yourself a lot more time than a week, 30 days, hell, 60 days. Go ahead and just commit to having the year to transform your body at minimum. Some of you, you might need more. But when you guys put time restraints on yourself to lose X amount of pounds by this time, then you're privy to doing more dangerous, toxic things. And if you do those things, it's not going to stay off. It might be a quick fix for the moment, but you are inevitably going to rebound because you didn't change your lifestyle. You just did something quick to get a quick result. So me listening to all these people on the internet was definitely the most damaging thing that I've ever done. And I'm going to be straight up. It gave me an ED. I didn't even know I had one. Okay. But I was definitely in the binge restrict cycle. Okay. I was doing the most unhealthy things because I was like, okay, I'm going to take the advice of these people who have the body that I want, only for me to completely rebound, because what works for you might not work for me. We are all different in this fitness journey. We all have different needs and we all need to figure out what works for us. Because I was listening to everybody's advice on how to lose weight on the internet, I didn't even know what my hunger cues sounded like. I knew I wanted to lose like 10 pounds or whatever, but like I was trying to meet the macros of someone who doesn't even look like me because I didn't have the knowledge or the foundation to understand that this is not how you do it. So I completely, for years, ate past what felt good for me or didn't eat at all. Like I was just not listening to my hunger cues and my body didn't trust me. No wonder it was just holding on to fat so easily, because it was like, this bitch is gonna starve herself probably tomorrow and then eat like a big pizza on Friday. Like my body did not trust me for good reason. I wasn't giving it a reason to trust me. So it was doing what it's meant to do. It was protecting me. It was adding layers of fat to my body because it was trying to keep me alive because I wasn't doing it right. I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't doing things properly. And in return, my body was just trying to protect me. And you need to look at things a little differently. Like your body is not the enemy. Your body wants you to live a good, healthy life. And your body is talking to you. You're not listening because you'd rather just focus on what some skinny, lean Pilates princess is telling you to eat than actually listen to your body. But what you don't know about the little Pilates princess over here is she actually probably knows how to listen to her body. And that's why she's getting the results she's getting. So when you do that for yourself, your body then can let go and relax. I was so inflamed at that time. I'm gonna insert pictures here just to give you like a heads up on what it looked like. But there's this photo where my face is so fucking inflamed in a YouTube video that I did. And it's just like, that is the face of a body that is in stress. I was eating foods, one that I didn't even know I was like low-key allergic to because Pilates princesses were eating it. I was just trying to copy paste what they were doing. But this was clearly not working for me, right? So I started to listen to what my body body was saying. If I ate something and my stomach hurt, okay, we're not going to eat that anymore. If I ate something and I couldn't poop, okay, we're not going to eat that anymore. Pivot, keep changing until you have a system in place that feels good, and stop listening to people. Some people eat nothing but meat and swear that's like the thing. Some people are into eating plants all day. Some people do a combination of both, but what works for you is the question, okay? But most importantly, how can you learn to hear your hunger cues again? How can you get to that point? Because weight loss cannot happen if you continue to eat past your point of being full. You have to be in a deficit. That's the bottom line. But how do you know if you're in a deficit if you're not listening to your hunger cues because you haven't known what that felt like? I had to remember what it felt like to be hungry. That's kind of like goofy to say, right? But I had disregarded that. You know, I was like, oh, I gotta eat like 150 grams of protein. Like, I never needed to eat that much protein ever, actually. And so me eating that much protein, one, made me fucking sick. I couldn't poop no matter how much water I drank, but that just was too much because some muscle mommy was telling me to do that, but that wasn't what my body wanted. And my body was letting me know. So some of these fitness goals that y'all have, sometimes y'all are working against what your body wants to do, and you would rather put yourself through that for like some aesthetic goal, and that's cool and everything, but how can you meet your body and compromise with what your body needs to? Like, it's okay to have goals, but it's not okay to hurt yourself. It's not okay to literally destroy your guts to meet a protein goal. Like, okay, you're gonna gain muscle, but now like you can't fucking poop and your stomach is like out to here because you're so constipated. Is it worth it? You tell me. But everybody's different. So when I finally stripped away the rules and restrictions around what I need to eat, I literally took just like 3 months. No goals, no plans of like what I wanted my body to look like. I just wanted to hear my hunger cues again. That's it. I just wanted to eat and learn how to intuitively do that again. So once I was actually able to hear my hunger cues again, I really focused on just like intuitively feeling when I felt satisfied, when I felt full, and started to rebuild that relationship with my body. You would be shocked to know that when I started to get back in that rhythm, losing weight was so much easier. Literally, the first 5 pounds started to like fall off because my body was trusting me and like, okay, now we can actually let go of some of this stuff. It doesn't have to feel like a war to lose like a couple pounds with me. So it just got a lot easier because I was listening to my hunger cues now and I could feel that. Something that helped me learn my hunger cues, and don't come for me because I argue with your mom. I know people feel differently about this, but intermittent fasting really helped me learn my hunger cues. And I'm not saying like intermittent fast, but for me, it was really helpful. Giving myself a window and kind of letting myself get hungry was important because I was just used to waking up and eating all day, not really giving my body time to break anything down and process it. I was like constantly feeding myself. That didn't work well for my body, and I didn't realize it till I tried something different. Intermittent fasting gave me enough of a break to feel what hunger feels like again. From there, I was able to like cue my body better, hear my body better, and understand this is what hunger feels like because I hadn't felt that in so long. I was constantly shoveling food down and I wouldn't do anything crazy. I think most people naturally fast for like 12 hours, which includes like your sleep time. For me, at most, I would do like 16 or 18 hours. And around my period, I didn't fast at all because I have read about fasting in conjunction with hormones, and women just need to do it a little bit differently. So I am saying, if you ever do intermittent fast, do your research, ask your doctor, like see what's going to work for you with that. But I loved intermittent fasting and it really helped me like shed the weight that I wanted to get rid of. Ask your doctor, but 9 times out of 10, if you are carrying excess fat, you can afford to do a little bit of a fast in a healthy way. You don't have to do the 24-hour, 48-hour. People do extreme stuff. I've never done that. Longest I've gone is 18 hours. That was like my extreme. Okay. But what would work for me was like eating breakfast at a normal time. And then I would have my last meal around like 3 or 4 because I just wasn't hungry after that. Then I would start my fast and it would end up being 16 to 18 hours. And that worked for me. You know, like I said, everybody's bodies are different. I'm shorter. I just wasn't hungry. What I also realized is I really operate better on 2 meals, 2 moderate to heavier meals. meals a day, that's what feels good for me. 3 meals a day, not so much. I'm never really hungry for that third meal. I'll eat it just because everyone else is eating it. But when I was really trying to honor my body and honor my hunger, I realized that that third meal just didn't feel good to me. It made me feel like past the point of satisfied and lethargic. That was my body communicating to me that, okay, you're going past the point that makes you feel comfortable. And you can still make 2 meals incredibly big and balanced, but still not make you feel like slow and lethargic. I think that it was hard for me to come to terms with what works for me because, again, so much of the internet made me feel bad for wanting to lose weight. And I want to say this very clearly. It is not bad for you to want to lose weight. It's okay if you want to lose weight. I want to be careful not to offend anyone when I say this, but I'm just going to be real that the body positivity movement kind of like fucked with me because not everybody that's a part of the body positivity movement is doing it in a good way. Some of you are, and the body positivity movement is fine, but some people don't have the correct definition of the body positivity movement. Let me literally like read you the Google definition here. The body positivity movement accepts bodies of all sizes and types rather than those that conform to societal ideals of beauty. Yes, period. We love that. My issue is that some people in the body positivity community make it seem like it is bad to want to change under any circumstance. So I felt shame and guilt for not being happy with where I was. Here's the thing. You can still love yourself and want to change. It's possible for 2 things to be possible. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you fat phobic if you want to lose weight. And these are the things that I was literally seeing on the internet that made me feel bad about wanting to lose weight. My body did not feel good where I was at that time. And I wanted to feel better. I wanted to feel happier. And turns out that did help me feel better. It did make me happier. I could not fit in my clothes at that time. It was really upsetting. And I didn't like how I looked on camera, but I felt like, wow, I must be like an asshole for wanting to change. I think that some people in the body positivity space have to learn to separate self-acceptance and health being at the forefront. Like, health has to be a priority. And I was not healthy. And you can be unhealthy at any size. But it's not everybody in the body positivity movement, but they're just, I wasn't seeing the good side of the movement on my For You page is what I'm saying, which is why I feel like it's important for me to say this. Me, I would rather subscribe to just general self-acceptance that no matter what size I am, no matter how much I weigh, I still accept myself and I still love myself. However, if my health is compromised and I don't feel good, it's okay to want to change as long as you do it in a healthy way, okay? That is the body positivity message that I can get behind, with self-acceptance being at the forefront and health being right next to it. So when I kind of like learned that I wasn't a bad person for wanting to lose weight and I relearned my hunger cues, I was finally ready to actually make goals to lose weight. And from there, then I got a little bit more granular about my choices and decisions. And I was able to actually do the calorie thing. I wasn't able to count calories in the past because it led to disordered behavior. But when I healed my relationship with food, I was able to actually track without becoming obsessive and unhealthy about that. So really, I didn't have to track for very long because I had learned to, one, hear my hunger, but 2, quickly learned like where that set point felt like, because I was just really in tune with my body. For me, it just became easier if I just like cooked at home more. So I ate everything I wanted to eat, but I just learned how to make better versions of it. I lost 10 pounds eating pizza, y'all. Like eating pizza, okay? There's a healthier way to make it that could make you feel good. It won't make you feel sluggish. And I figured out how to do that. I also figured out other things that I like and figured out just like how to make it at home with more nutrients. So I didn't feel deprived, which is why I could stick with it. And that's the bottom line, is like when you like what you're doing, you'll be able to stick with it forever. The question you have to ask yourself when you're losing weight or gaining weight or whatever your goals are is, can I see myself doing this for the rest of my life? If the answer is no, it's probably not healthy. It's probably not sustainable. And you want to do something that you could see yourself doing for the rest of your life. I could see myself having the pizza that I make till I'm 80. For real, it's good. It hits the spot. It does what it needs to do in terms of like wanting pizza, and it's good. I'm not torturing myself. You don't have to torture yourself. If you torture yourself, it's not going to last. So when you understand that and finally accept that weight loss does not have to be a torture game and less is more, really stop doing the most, you will see the results. And I know there are exceptions to that, hormonal issues. Again, I understand. I was diagnosed with PMDD, so my hormonal stuff, like, I get it. But if you fix your lifestyle, all those other things get better too. And for me, PMDD started to improve when I changed my lifestyle. All these other issues that I had with my mood, this, that, and the third, all of this got better when I started to change my lifestyle. And I was just trying to lose some weight, you know, but it ended up helping so many areas of my life. It helped my skin, it helped my hair grow, it helped everything, right? Because I figured out what feels good to my body. And now my body trusts me. It doesn't have to feel like it needs to hold on to fat because it has no idea when it's going to get its next meal. Like, I have trust with my body and I process my emotions better. And I can understand, like, there are deeper issues that I have to confront because what's happening on the inside is what you're seeing on the outside. The internal, the mental, the emotional, it's going to show in your physical form sometimes. So for me, that was 100% true. I was not doing well and I didn't feel safe in my body. I actually did like a lot of research. Some people's take on weight loss or weight gain in a spiritual sense. And I just found the correlation so fascinating. And for me, I can honestly say I put on 15 pounds when I felt the most unsafe. I was very anxious at that time. I had a lot of changes going on in my life. It's like a physical manifestation of not feeling safe in your body. And your body responds by having additional layers of fat to protect you, which is also like such a beautiful thing when you think about it. It's like your body is always working for you. So it makes me sad to think about how mean I was to myself and how I literally hated myself for gaining weight and fat because I couldn't fit in my clothes. But when I finally looked at my body as my friend and how my body is just trying to keep me here and keep me protected, I saw what was happening as an act of love and not like this big act of like, fuck you, Bria, like you can't fit in your clothes. I just saw it as like, I'm not listening. I'm not taking care of myself. And when you work with your body as a team, it all just works out and you will get to that place where your body's relaxed and everything just feels more natural and you don't even have to force it, you know? And now for me, the weight quite literally is falling off because I'm in this relaxed state and I'm one with myself again. Anyways, I've been really excited to talk about this with you guys. And I know you probably haven't heard such an angle as it relates to weight loss, weight gain, but this perspective has been healthy for me. And I know that especially I have a lot of women who follow me. I know many of us, if you've ever felt self-conscious about your body, comment down below. Let's see how many people can resonate with that. It is just a part of us to be so hyper aware of our body and our looks and wanting to change. And I hate that for us. But besides the aesthetics, what I want you guys to feel is good in your body, is confident and happy in your body. And it is possible to do that. And you have the tools. You don't need to look to anyone else for those answers. You have the tools if you would listen to your body. That takes a little bit of work and building a new relationship with your body, but you can do it. And it's worth doing that work so that you can have a lifetime of treating your body better. And then with that come the benefits of looking and feeling the way that you probably want to. So let me know your thoughts on this take. If any of this resonates with you, I know it's a bit taboo, but I wanted to share it. And I'm still on my own journey, so I'm not done yet. But hey, I'm pretty proud of where I am right now. And it was hard. It was hard getting here, but I feel really proud of myself for finally getting to a place that I'm really proud of. And I did it in a healthy way. This bitch ain't starving, okay? This bitch is hungry. And it's really nice to be able to hit your goals and know that it is possible. And I want you to know that it's possible. Don't listen to other people, okay? Listen to your body. I love you guys. Let me know what you thought about this episode. If you liked it, rate it 5 stars on the podcast. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and comment down below. And I'll see you guys next week.